from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, you're kissing Chase Utley, and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good.
Pal around.
I'm gonna read it.
Yeah, read it.
Dear Chase. Oh, they're stickers.
Yeah.
My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
All right, welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. You missed in the first hour. You can download that, The Fan podcast, at 1080thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. There is the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. All texts to The Fan are via the Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford that you should write before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. I got me one in the parking lot. We're doing all-star voting.
Oh, crap. I closed my tab.
And if you missed any of the first round, we're all chalk. We're all together. Are we not?
I believe so. Until we get to the American League.
Until we get to the American League. This will be interesting. Let's just dive right into this. Your finalists for first base are Vladdy Guerrero Jr., short hair Vladdy Guerrero Jr.
Yeah, that's what he needed to just start hitting dongs.
I would argue that when MVP Andrew McCutchen cut his hair, he was never good again. It's balance, dude. It's weight. It's how you feel your body. And when Kutch cut those dreads off, he was never the same.
Kind of like CC Sabathia, losing all that weight.
Losing all that weight, yeah. He was more dominant when he was big.
Yep, yeah, no, he got chubby again, and he became dominant.
Borderline racist, Patrick.
No, I'm happy for CC because he had an alcohol problem, and he's...
No, I was talking about cutting the dreads. You're saying if they would just cut their dreads, they could be better baseball players.
Oh, right, yeah. This is school, and I need you to be... Yeah, that's it. I hate black people. Is that what you're saying, Joe? That's what Joe is saying.
Clip it.
What's interesting about this is Vladdy has been on a tear. And when you compare the stats for these two finalists, it actually favors in Vladdy very well. Again, this is why I would really like to see the other first baseman. I'd like to see Josh Naylor. I know his average is trash, but I'd like to see his OPS, his home runs, his RBIs, etc. Versus, because when I look at these two guys just based on stats, the answer is Vladdy. And Mountcastle's great, but Mountcastle is part of that, kind of what we were talking about with Bryson Stott and Alec Bohm. Mountcastle is a guy that gets the Orioles to the World Series. He is a guy that is extremely valuable to that team for what he does. Santander, which we'll get to in the outfield, is the same way. That's a guy that gets them where they want to go. But when I'm looking here at All-Star Ballot, I have to go with Vladdy.
Likewise, it's one of those, I think we kind of had this moment last year, and it might have even been with first base too, where it's a matter of like, yeah, it's like, do we leave him out and not vote for him, even though we know he is very, very good and can make an all-star every season?
Right.
And now, luckily for Vladdy Jr. is that he has just been in an absolute tear these last couple of weeks.
I think Paul Goldschmidt was that way for a long time. We were like, how am I not voting for Paul or Arenado at third? How am I not voting for Arenado?
And it's not so much the problem with Vladimir Guerrero is that he was still getting on base this year. He was still getting hit. So it was just the power was missing. So the power is coming through. And, you know, it literally just took him a couple of weeks to skyrocket up the charts as far as home runs and RBIs go. But I feel like that definitely plays a factor into it. So I'm going Vladdy as well.
Sliding into second base, I find this fascinating. Jose Altuve and Marcus Semien are your finalists. And Jose Altuve has had a very good year this year. I think there was a lot of questions about him coming into this year. In one of my fantasy keeper leagues, I opted to not keep him because I did not like the trajectory of where his aging was going. He has had a really, really nice season for an older player on a Houston team that's trying to figure out an identity and is kind of coming into their own right now. However, no, I won't vote for you. It's just not going to happen.
You're not going to vote for Altuve?
No.
Well, I will for my Houston Astros.
Sorry, Joe. I got a new tattoo that if I vote for Jose Altuve might ruin my tattoo.
Your wife's going to be pissed if you show it to me.
Yep. I don't want the world to see this tattoo I got for my wife, so I'm going to go for a strikeout machine, Marcus Semien.
And well, I'm going for the little baseball elf.
This is where we differ.
He leads.
I have morals, you don't. Got it.
I know. That's why I also picked the Astros to win the AL West to start the year. And here they come, rolling through. He leads the American League in total bases, home runs, average for second baseman, BABIP, batted at BABIP. Balls BABIP. In play. I mean, he, for as small as that dude is, the fact that he has as many home runs as a second baseman over some of these other players, I understand that second basemen aren't always the biggest guys out there, but still. Yeah.
Wait till Jackson Holliday shows up.
That was supposed to happen this year, right?
Just trying to derail Joe over there.
Right? You're flustering me. Yes, I'm going with Altuve.
Moving over to third base, this one's really easy. I think this is the answer, Joe. I know one of the finalists is one of your O's. It's Jose Ramirez and Jordan Westberg. It's funny that obviously superstardom takes over, and superstardom should, as this is an all-star game. I can sit here and tell you that Jose Ramirez is the American League MVP right now. The Cleveland Guardians have the best record in the American League. Their pitching staff is really good. They're actually scoring runs. And when that offense comes to it, it's all because of Jose Ramirez. He has 76 RBIs on July 2nd.
Whatever. Jeez.
There are 3 months of this season to go and three that he just did. He is walking into potentially 150 RBI season on a team that, quote unquote, can't hit.
Well, if he's walking into a 150 RBI season, then Aaron Judge is walking into a 160 RBI season.
And that's fine. And I get that. And I totally understand. Judge hits bombs. He plays in New York. He's 6'30". Like, I know, he's giant. He's massive. He's the captain of the Yankees. 6'30"
converts to what, like, not 9 feet or something?
8'6", something like that. I don't know. Like, he's a big dude. He's a big dude. He's the captain of the Yankees. He makes a ton of money. But Jose Ramirez, this guy is, out of every category in all of this, I would argue that he is the most slam dunk candidate of any position of the All-Star game.
Yeah. Yeah, you can make the case. You know, when you're looking at all the other ones, I know that Schultzy said that Alec Bohm at third base in the National League was his, but
I mean, I think Alec Bohm's a no-brainer too.
Yeah, but I mean,
nothing is more no-brainer than Jose Ramirez.
Listen, love me some Jordan Westberg, but yeah, I'm right there with you, bud.
Shortstop is fascinating because I think we're going to have this conversation for the next decade.
Yeah, this is a good head-to-head matchup at shortstop. You know who I'm going with.
I know who you're going
with. I mean, you can make the argument for either one, Gunnar Henderson or Bobby Witt Jr.
Henderson, Bobby Witt Jr.
That's just going to be swapping them out next couple of years, right?
They're both exactly. They're both going to be there. They're both going to be there. But it is a big deal on who starts.
It's true.
And I would assume the vote getter, where Joe's voting, this is actually where I am voting as well. I think what's been really fun about Bobby Witt is Bobby Witt is a sports center machine. He is a web gem maniac. He does things on the field that you just don't see all the time. He's a human highlight reel. Gunnar is the better baseball player. Gunnar is the guy I want on my team. Me and another buddy of mine are actively trying to trade in our fantasy league, going into our dynasty league, for Gunnar Henderson. He offered him Aaron Judge for Gunnar Henderson straight up, and I offered him Yordan Alvarez for Gunnar Henderson straight up. That's what we feel about Gunnar Henderson.
That is awesome to hear. I'm glad that you have as much confidence in him as I do.
Joe, he's got an almost 1,000 OPS.
Yeah, Judge for, my God, Gunnar, that's a tough trade to turn down.
For the next 10 years?
Ooh, wow.
I actually think I'm leading the vote because I have Yordan Alvarez, who's younger than Judge.
That's fair. And yeah, like you said, he hits home runs like he's angry about it.
Yeah, I think this is a really cool competition between these two because I think we're going to see this for a while. This is Nomar, A-Rod, Jeter, Tejada kind of stuff. Like, these are the future superstars and it's splitting hairs to get them in. Do you want the flashy kid and Bobby Witt? Or do you want the guy that might win a World Series this year in Gunnar Henderson?
Don't you say that. Don't you put that out there. Well, but please keep saying that.
I said might. I gave you an out, Joe.
Yeah.
I will vote for Gunnar Henderson.
Yes, I will go for Gunnar Henderson. And then that leads us to another Kansas City Royal and Baltimore Royal matchup at the catcher position.
It's wild. I mean, Adley is already a star in the game.
Back-to-back tough decisions, honestly.
Adley's already a star in this game. What he did last year in the Home Run Derby is legendary. We talked about it in the first hour. But boy, Sal Perez is having himself a season that makes you go, is he a Hall of Famer? And for me, my answer is yes.
He gets better with age. That's the crazy thing with him.
And this young Royals team who's done very well this year, check the tape, guilty as charged. Picked Kansas City to win that division. Now he looks stupid, but they've played well. I'm going to give it to Sal Perez here. I think Adley is the better player. I like his stats better. I think he is more deserving. I'm going to give it to the old man. I like it. It's sexy. It's baseball. It's folklore. It's what we get enamored with. I am enamored with Sal Perez right now. Adley, I'm going to see you for the next 15 years. But I've watched Sal for 10, and this might be the best Sal I've ever seen.
Listen, it's going to be damn near impossible for me to ever vote against Adley Rutschman.
And that should be the truth, Joe.
And it's just, you know, there's too many personal factors with that dude that make me want to go anywhere else.
And I think you're justified in it, Joe.
It helps that he is just has comparable stats. And so when it comes to just the personal taste and flavor, I mean, again, there is just too many factors leaning towards Adley Rutschman. It's like, that dude is an Oriole. He is from my hometown. He played in the home state in college. Like, there is going to be nothing that ever gets me to vote against that guy.
What I would tell you, Joe, is even if you took out all that personal stuff, I still think you're right. I still think that it is Adley Rutschman is the best catcher in baseball. Take that, Will Smith.
Take that, Dumper.
Take that, Cal Raleigh. I think Adley Rutschman is the best. And I think Adley Rutschman deserves to start this game. This is the card I'm pulling as the old man of I'm going to vote for Sal Perez.
Fine. Do you? Salvador Perez is having a great year. Kudos to him. You keep wondering, like, hey, when is the fall off going to happen? And it hasn't. It hasn't for the last couple of years now. We thought, like, I don't know if it was after the World Series. I felt like there was one season where he did dip down a bit, but then it's just skyrocketed right back up. And it's just like, God, this guy, it just doesn't stop hitting. What the hell?
This is where Joe questions our friendship.
No, I'll give it to you. Whatever. Agree on everything.
We'll finish up real quick. Designated hitter. I'm just going to go ahead and click Yordan Alvarez. Ryan O'Hearn is fine, but boy, he likes to strike out. I'm going to give it to the big boy.
God, dude. Fine. I'll choose Alvarez also.
Come on.
And then when you get to the outfield, kind of like our first base situation in the National League, Judge is in. He's there. So that leaves us with two votes. Your top getters are Stephen Kwan. God, I love seeing his name there. Anthony Santander, Juan Soto, and Kyle Tucker. I think we're all going to easily pencil in Juan Soto here.
Be stupid if we didn't.
I think Judge looks like Judge because he has Juan Soto. And I see all these things that compare Judge's 2024 stats to Judge's 2022 stats. And the reason they're better is because he has Juan Soto. It's protection. It's the Yankees are actually good. Remember, that Yankee team was not good when Judge hit 62. Judge is this good because he has Juan Soto.
It's nice when you have a dude that is constantly on base half the time.
Yep, that's how your RBIs go through the roof. So the next question is where do you sit with the rest of the guys? Kyle Tucker's hurt, but could be back for the All-Star game. Probably not. They'll probably shut him down until... after taking that foul ball off his shin.
Well, I love Anthony Santander because he is
had a great season.
Been a great month for him, I'll say that. And he is a stalwart for that Orioles team. He's been with the team for the bad year, so he's going to get rewarded this year.
All these guys are going.
Yeah, exactly. But 362 average, dude. Like... this is kind of like one of those, like, if Luis Arias had a 362 and he was going up against Ketel Marte, then you would give it to him. So, yeah, I'm giving it to Stephen Kwan.
When you have 7 home runs and 24 RBIs and your OPS is 950, yeah, you get my vote.
On-base machine.
He's the best leadoff hitter in the league.
I want to vote for Kyle Tucker. I think Kyle Tucker is a top 5 player in Major League Baseball. And the injury, like Jordan said earlier, being injured late sucks compared to being injured earlier. I'm taking Kwan.
I'm going with Kwan. Kwan, Soto, Judge.
Yeah, ditto. That's my outfield
put
as well.
Kwan in left field. Ooh, that's sexy. Baby. Ooh, baby. It's Kwan leadoff, Soto 2, Judge 3.
God, if Kwan were the Yankees' leadoff hitter, they would win the World Series.
Don't worry, like, he will be shortly.
3 in a row.
No, Jose 4? Oh, baby.
My God.
No, he will.
Gunner
won't.
5?
Stop. Oh,
all right, that is it. That is our All-Star voting. We come back, a little story time with Uncle Patrick. Hot Corner, Tenny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's time to take a trip down memory lane. This is Storytime with Uncle Patrick. A look back on some of the most unusual events around America's pastime.
In the bottom of the 10th, when Bill Mazeroski slammed the four-bagger to end the game and the series with victory for the Pirates. Sweet revenge. A Cinderella story of baseball, and the hometown fans went berserk with joy.
And forgotten stories from the major leagues.
And that's the story of Mike Matheny and the Bird Pool.
Gather round, folks. It's story time with Uncle Patrick on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're going to be real quick here as we got Fair Foul coming up here in about 10 minutes. Joe was telling me some funny stats that he heard. He mentioned one, or just funny situations that he heard, and it reminded me of one of the craziest stories that I know and love about one of my all-time favorite players. So, Joe, why don't you share with the three people listening out there that aren't you, me, and Schultzy what that story is?
Yes, and I give a tip of the cap to P1 Deal for sending me this on Instagram. It
Deal?
Was,
never heard of him.
Yeah, neither have I. It just popped up in the Instagram. I was like, who the hell is this guy? MLB facts that sound fake but are real, and one of them was Mickey Mantle blew out his ACL his rookie year and played his entire career without it.
And that's insane. You're talking about a man who was in the race in 61, chasing Ruth, him and Maris. He is a bona fide Hall of Famer. He played in New York while the two other teams in New York had center fielders named Duke Snyder, Hall of Famer, and Willie Mays, Hall of Famer, rest in peace. Mickey Mantle is one of my favorite players of all time. I think there was a reckless abandonment about Mickey that was really fun. Like, he always put his body on the line. He cared. He was just an old school baseball player. Now, alcoholism and his body and women were ultimately his downfall.
But what isn't?
But what isn't when you're the Mick and the center fielder for the New York Yankees? But Joe, you talk about that ACL. And what's really funny is Mickey Mantle is playing center field in New York State, in Yankee Stadium. And in right field is an older, aging Joe DiMaggio.
Ooh, this
Joe
story.
DiMaggio, the Yankee Clipper, by his own accord, viewed as the greatest Yankee of all time. There's a great story that I could tell you another time. He wanted a contract raise, and they said, "Hey, man, Lou Gehrig doesn't make that much money." And Joe DiMaggio's response was, "Well, then Lou Gehrig is severely underpaid." Joe DiMaggio was a red ass. Joe DiMaggio was a selfish P, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Did not love new kids and did not love Mickey Mantle. His fear, his overarching fear was that Mickey Mantle was the next great Yankee. And Joe DiMaggio would disappear into the folklore.
As 99% of athletes do.
Exactly. But Joe was so self-absorbed that he didn't want that. So there's a fly ball coming to right center field. Could have been either of them. The rumor is that it's a Joe DiMaggio ball. It's a right fielder ball. But Mickey is hustling as a rookie. And there was a giant divot in right center field. And right as Mickey and Joe are running, Joe saw that divot and held up and said, "You got it." And watched Mickey plant his leg in that divot and blow out his knee.
Ah!
Because
that was the sound he made.
Because nobody will be better than Joe DiMaggio. And that's how Mickey Mantle lost his ACL.
Now, is that admitted from either party? Was Mickey like, "Joe screwed me," or Joe was like, "Yeah, I screwed him"?
That's the story Mickey Mantle tells.
Yeah.
And Mickey Mantle is not a guy. Mickey Mantle was a team. He was a captain. You know, him and Whitey Ford, like, they led the Yankees, and they had Yogi. So, like, that was a team of guys that loved baseball and loved being a Yankee. But nobody loved Joe DiMaggio.
I remember, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie 61, done by HBO.
Yes.
Barry Pepper as Barry Roger Pepper Maris, is Roger Maris. Thomas Jane
yes.
as Mickey
and
Mantle.
Thomas Jane is awesome as Mickey Mantle.
Best Mickey Mantle ever.
So good.
And in that movie, I think in the first 10 minutes, they addressed this story, and it was either a divot or like a sprinkler or something that
yes,
Joe DiMaggio
something
saw.
Like that.
And let Mickey Mantle, the younger, better, and they just called it a sprained knee at the time. They did not know that he tore his ACL. They said it was a sprained knee that obviously ended up being like, yeah, three or four different torn ligaments. And Mickey still played without him.
And that's why Mickey didn't have an ACL and still went on to be over 500, one of the greatest center fielders of all time, and an absolute Hall of Famer, one of the greatest Yankees to ever play. Mickey Mantle's number. Anybody got it?
Seven.
Second Correct. Greatest player without ACL behind Dwan Blair.
Nice.
And Roger Maris was six, right? Six and seven.
Panthers.
Go Pitt, baby.
Pitt Panthers. Yogi's eight.
Hey, Dwan Blair didn't have either ACLs, okay? Suck on that.
All right, we bring it out every once in a while. That's story time with Uncle Patrick. We bring it back next week. Joe's got some fun stuff, but we'll do fair or foul next. But first, there's Schultzy with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
Fair or Foul, we do this bad boy every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Without further ado, let's jump right in it. Story time, voting got a little long, but I love to let this baby breathe. We'll turn it over to our fantastic producer, Jordan Schultzy.
Appreciate you all. Home run
Dutch
derby.
Brothers famous.
Oh, very, very much so. I really do deserve like a hot tub at the Dutch Brothers Manor that's for sale down in Medford right now. Schultzy hot tub, please. All right, Dutch.
Mispronounced Methford.
Yes, I did. I forgot. Sorry, guys. Crystal Methford down there selling beautiful houses. All right, wanted to try
She's
to stump.
Hot.
Yeah, baby. Wanted to try to stump you guys regarding some home runs since we are close to the All-Star break and they changed the rules. For the home run derby, was looking at a lot of the great home run hitters in the past five seasons at MLB, and two names in the top 10 kind of surprised me, but one in the top five, that one really surprised me, just because you really feel like you don't hear him as much or hear about him as much anymore, just because you're hearing about guys like Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. So fair or foul, Pete Alonso, guys, fair or foul, Pete Alonso, the polar bear, has the most home runs in all of MLB in the last five seasons. Fair or foul?
Just in the season? We're not talking home run derby. We're just talking the season.
We are talking the last five seasons to this point.
Ooh, baby, this is tough, Jordan. I know you're thinking about this a lot. The polar bear is my favorite animal in the kingdom. There's something magical about the polar bear to me. They are an apex predator. They are from my area. Ish. I find the polar bear absolutely fascinating animal. Now, I don't love Pete Alonso as much as I love polar bears, but I think Pete Alonso is really good. And as we talk about us Mariner fans over here looking at how can we make this team a little bit better. Is Pete Alonso the answer? What does Pete Alonso cost?
Harry Ford? Sure, I'll do it.
As long as it's not Harry Ford and...
Colt Emerson.
And...
So you, and a starting pitcher.
Yeah, yeah. And like a Wu, yeah. Or a Miller. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there is something I love about Pete Alonso. I think Pete Alonso brings a lot of character. I think he brings a lot of maturity, leadership, stuff like that. And for no reason other than I think he's a decent guy, I'll say fair. I think he probably averages 33 a year. The only person I would think that might have more home runs than him in that time would be Kyle Schwarber. That would be my only thought. Maybe Judge, but I'd probably say Schwarber.
Say it to me one more time, Schultzy.
All right, fair or foul, Pete Alonso has the most home runs in all of MLB in the last five seasons. Fair or foul?
Last five seasons.
COVID short year.
And technically, I'm going July 2, 2019 to today, 2024.
Fair enough.
I just can't.
Nobody hit 70 bombs in the first 3 months of 19.
That's true.
I just can't believe that.
I know. It's kind of wild to think about, right? But maybe that's why he's as popular as he is.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of over the last 5 years who has been healthy, consistent, had that pop.
That's why I like Schwarber. Judge, obviously, I mean, 61 is 30 more than Alonso's ever hit.
I don't know. Well,
maybe that's not true, but you know what I mean.
You know, I'm thinking of the guy who's at, who just popped out for the Dodgers, Freeman, but I don't know if he's been hitting that many home runs or as many as Pete Alonso. I'm going to say foul. The question is not guess who has more. So I am going to say foul, that there is somebody that has more home runs. But I think Schultzy is leading me astray here.
Yeah, you are right, Joe. I am leading you astray. But only by 17 home runs. Pete Alonso does not have the most. It is actually Aaron Judge with 199.
Is Pete number two?
He is. He is number two at 182 home runs.
See, 62 in 1 year is like
the difference.
2 years of home runs.
But y'all remember Pete Alonso's rookie year, 53 home runs, which I think people have kind of forgotten about.
I have already forgotten about it, and you just told me that. Who is number three? Do you have that list still
I
in
do.
Front of you?
Yeah, Matt Olson at 173, tied with Kyle Schwarber for third.
That is a deal for the Atlanta Braves for Matt Olson. Jeez Louise. And then Schwarber tied with him.
And then Ohtani at 5 at 163. This is the other name that surprised me because you just don't hear about him because they're so bad. The Red Sox, Rafael Devers, their third baseman. 147 homers, tied with Jose Ramirez. So a little bit crazier to see him in the top 10, but Juan Soto, Yordan Alvarez, and Marcus Simeon rounding out that list.
Wow. Jose decked him. Jose decked him.
Yes, he did. All right, on to question number two. Sticking with the Boston Red Sox, they've got a really good young player right now, guys. Jaron Duran has been hitting off his earth this season.
Yeah, he's had like a 12-game hit streak, something like that.
287 average, 351 on base percentage, almost an 850 OPS, 40 RBIs, 21 stolen bases. This stat, though, kind of caught me off guard. I get it, he plays in Fenway, but fair or foul, Boston Red Sox outfielder Jaron Duran has had as many triples as he does home runs this year. Fair or foul? He has had as many triples as home runs. So same number. Fair or foul?
Part of me wants to ask how many home runs he has. You know, like
I'll give it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
10 home runs. 10 home runs.
All right, and how many triples does he have?
Well, shut the hell up.
Well, I know Bobby Witt.
Damn it.
I believe Bobby Witt was leading the league in triples for a while. But I don't know if he has been passed.
I'm going to say fair because that would be a pretty cool stat, especially to have that many triples this point in the season. I kind of want that to be the case.
I will say foul because I think they suck and he sucks and it's Bobby Witt in the lead with triples.
Well, no. They don't suck and they very well could probably take a wild card spot this year. So.
Joe is 2-for-2 tonight, unfortunately, on the stat questions.
Unfortunately, Schultzy just played his cards that Joe Fisher sucks, apparently.
I was more thank so you, saying unfortunate you. For you, Patrick, but okay. But yes. Yes. Yes.
No, I get it. Anti-Joe Fisher.
I have secret Joe Fisher hate over here, apparently.
Jordan Schultz secretly hates Joe Fisher. Not secret anymore.
So it is fair. He is sitting at 10 apiece triples and home runs. Bobby Witt Jr. has 9 triples.
Ah, see,
nine
triples. I knew I was onto something with Bobby Witt.
sneaky third place, Anthony Volpe with third. So I didn't even really know that. So good for him. He's fast.
He's been having a great year at the dish.
I had a...
Somehow the Yankees are good.
I had a $5,000 card signed by him, and I sold it.
Anthony Volpe?
Yeah. It was like a very, very early rookie card of his. It was signed. It was like an out of 25, like very, very rare parallel, and I sold it way too early.
Oh, boy. Hopefully it's in the garbage or like a dumpster somewhere and you can't don't feel bad. Like the next owner like just totally, you know, mismanaged the card.
Oh no, I saw it. It got graded out perfectly and he's got, you know, $10,000 sitting in a, you know, safety deposit box right now in that card. So
down goes Schultz.
It sucks. That's definitely one of my worst decisions as far as sports memorabilia goes. Fair foul number three. All right, moving on to the trade deadline, guys. A couple of moves that I think need to be made in questions three and four, ones I'll address. Let's start off with the Toronto Blue Jays. We've been hearing all the rumors about Vladimir Guerrero being on the move. I, however, think it's a little bit of a misnomer, even though you're having a down season, to give up on the best player that's been on your roster for the past, like, what, five, 6 years?
Since Roy Halladay?
Yeah, pretty much. And not wanting to spend the money on a player like that, I think is asinine. So fair or foul, guys, the Toronto Blue Jays will trade first baseman Vladimir Guerrero Jr. by the deadline. Fair or foul?
I'll take this first. I'll start off and say foul. And the reason I say foul is I think the teams that would be best suited for Vladdy don't have the resources to get him. You know, I know the media wants to shove down our throats Vladdy in New York. But what is New York sending? New York is not sending anything to Toronto that is worth that. Now, you look at a team like the Dodgers, they have the capital to send for Vladdy, but they don't need him. They got Freeman at first. They got Shohei as a DH. Where am I going to put Vladdy? Take the flip side of that. The Mariners, I think the Mariners have capital to send to Toronto to get Vladdy, but is Vladdy going to come out to Seattle? I don't think so. So I don't think where it fits and what it costs meets in the middle, and I will say foul. I think he's in Toronto, and they lock him up.
They should maybe trade him, but I could see them.
I agree with you, Joe. I think they should deal him.
I lean towards they should, but I could live in a world where they say, we'll get rid of everybody else.
Yeah.
But we're keeping Vlad. Like, we're going to build around him. We're going to manage this roster a little bit better, but keep him because he is clearly an MVP caliber player.
His old man was Canadian. He's Canadian.
Am I crazy, though, that what if we saw a little first baseman for a first baseman swap and the New York Mets go after him?
Pete Alonso? Well...
Send Pete to Toronto. They won't end up giving him a long-term deal.
But then,
you're going to have to pay out the ass for Vladimir down the road anyways.
But Pete Alonso would just be a rental, and a rental for what? To finish fourth instead of fifth?
And then you have a complete rebuild restart.
And then he walks, and you get nothing for Vladdy?
Well, I mean, you have some, you know, prospects that come along with that deal if you're Toronto.
Just the Mets scared out of their wits that they can't re-sign Pete Alonso. And if I was Pete Alonso, I wouldn't re-sign there either. City Field's a dumpster fire if you hit home runs.
I think it'd be interesting. The Mets, the grimace Mets, making a little surge here, and then you get Vladdy on the team to give you some more oomph in that lineup, and you have some on base.
I mean, I would watch.
You have a hitter as well.
I would watch the fire.
It's obviously you're going to have, you know, Pete Alonso can get you home runs, but as far as having a consistent on base presence like Vladimir Guerrero, I mean. I'm talking crazy, but also I think that if Toronto fully wanted to do a restart, you get Pete Alonso back, but you ask for a hell lot of prospects as well.
It's crazy, man.
All right, guys, got to round out fair foul with a question about my, I would say, crappy Seattle Mariners right now. Losing to the Baltimore Orioles, probably not going to win this series.
What you going to do?
Strike out more, because that's what they've been doing. Hey, you talking to me? No,
Gray Rod will do that to you, man.
Gray Rod threw well tonight.
I did ask you guys about Mitch Garver a few weeks ago. He is still one of the worst, actually not one of, the worst statistical batter qualifying in all of MLB at 172. And the Mariners have not one, not two, but four hitters in the bottom 20 of qualifying batting averages in all of major leagues. Another one of those guys, second baseman Jorge Polanco. He has missed some time with injury, but even when he's played, only hitting .197, hit a few homers, but dude is like barely above .280 for on-base percentage. So I'm not liking the numbers. Fair or foul, guys. The Seattle Mariners should say uncle and move on from second baseman Jorge Polanco. Really quickly, let me compare him. He's batting .197, 5 home runs, 15 RBIs, to Colton Wong's 2 home runs, 19 RBIs, and .165 before he was jettisoned by the Mariners.
Wasn't Jorge Polanco a guy that DePoto had been eyeing for years?
For years. This was a apparent DePoto guy. Yes.
You know what? What's he batting?
197.
Well, the team is averaging .218.
That's fair.
So I would argue that Polanco is actually closer to the middle than other people. I will actually say foul, because it's like Mitch Garver sucks and Mitch Garver got hurt and thank God he's out now. But who's coming in?
Yeah.
Like who?
Sebi Zavala.
Who are you bringing in? I don't got any options for you. Like, this guy, at least this guy's closer to the team average than the other dude. I'd keep Polanco.
I would keep him as well, because you need, like, 7 batters. You need to make, like, 7 moves.
Yeah, getting rid of Polanco ain't the answer.
Call me crazy, but how about a little first base for first base swap? Ty France for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.?
Dude, Ty France and Emerson Hancock for Pete Alonso? Let's effing go.
It's going to take more than Emerson. They're going to ask for Wu and Ty France. Would you do that?
Wu and Ty France? Yeah, because I think Wu might have Tommy John, so yeah, you can have him.
What about Emerson? Cold Emerson and Ty France. They're number one prospect. Personally, I'd give up anybody. I'd give them all up.
But again, though, my problem with Pete Alonso in New York is that ballpark sucks, but so does T-Mobile.
Of 2 days ago, Mariners with a MLB worst batting average .218.
And leading in strikeouts as well.
Yeah, it ain't good. It ain't good. All right, that is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. We come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot Corner today, the Fan.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
All right, we'll be back next week, and I think it's time to start getting into some trade deadline talk.
Yes.
You know, we kind of talked about it a little bit last week of doing it this week, but I forgot we had the All-Star game. So I wanted to get into that. But Joe keeps peppering me as we talk about what we want to do for the show each week. Joe keeps peppering me with some trade deadline stuff. So I think it'd be fun to kind of really dive into it, get ahead of it. Basically, we're walking into the All-Star break next week, where everyone's got a few games left. We can look at, you know, what's Kyle Tucker's situation, Harper, Real Muto, check in on the White Sox, you know, what are the White Sox going to do? You know, can Mason Miller for the A's get moved? Things like that. And then also just what does Baltimore need to do to keep going? That bullpen looks pretty strong. Is Corbin Burns enough? Is Grayrod showing you enough as a starter, or do they need a starter? So I think it could be a lot of fun next week to dive into some trade deadline stuff, because now we're in a position, like, speaking of Schultz's Mariners, like, as I keep saying, objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. Like, what is the Astros strategy at the deadline? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that team becomes really fascinating.
Yeah, the rubber's meeting the road with a lot of teams right now. We're getting to crunch time in the MLB season, obviously post-All-Star break. I texted you earlier today about a possible segment that we could have today, but might get pushed back to next week. Which division leader could slash will lose their division lead. Yep. That's not the Seattle Mariners. I mean, there's.
I sent you two candidates.
I mean, there's, as we know, you get into the postseason, just give me a chance, right? That's what a lot of these teams feel like. I feel like the Padres are that way. The Cardinals are sneaking up in the division on the Brewers. I mean, you have obviously the Mets are surging.
I was high on the Cubs at the beginning of the season.
Oh, dude, we both took the Cubs to win the division. So now they're dead last in the division.
So where are they in terms of that?
Are they in sell mode?
Yeah, can Cincinnati make a run, or are they in a patient mode?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
Fair or Foul, we do this bad boy every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Without further ado, let's jump right in it. Story time, voting, got a little long, but I love to let this baby breathe. We'll turn it over to our fantastic producer, Jordan Schultze.
Appreciate you all. Home run
Dutch
derby.
Brothers famous.
Oh, very, very much so. I really do deserve like a hot tub at the Dutch Brothers Manor that's for sale down in Medford right now. Schultze hot tub, please. All right,
Dutch. Mispronounced Methford.
Yes, I did. I forgot. Sorry, guys. Crystal Methford down there selling beautiful houses. All right, wanted to try
She's
to stump.
Hot.
Yeah, baby. Wanted to try to stump you guys regarding some home runs since we are close to the All-Star break and they changed the rules. For the home run derby, was looking at a lot of the great home run hitters in the past five seasons at MLB, and two names in the top 10 kind of surprised me, but one in the top five, that one really surprised me, just because you really feel like you don't hear him as much or hear about him as much anymore, just because you're hearing about guys like Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. So fair or foul, Pete Alonso, guys, fair or foul, Pete Alonso, the polar bear, has the most home runs in all of MLB in the last five seasons. Fair or foul?
Just in the season? We're not talking home run derby. We're just talking the season.
We are talking the last five seasons to this point.
Ooh, baby, this is a tough. This is tough, Jordan. I know you're thinking about this a lot. The polar bear is my favorite animal in the kingdom. There's something magical about the polar bear to me. They are an apex predator. They are from my area. Ish. I find the polar bear absolutely fascinating animal. Now, I don't love Pete Alonso as much as I love polar bears, but I think Pete Alonso is really good. And as we talk about us Mariner fans over here looking at how can we make this team a little bit better, is Pete Alonso the answer? What does Pete Alonso cost?
Harry Ford? Sure, I'll do it.
As long as it's not Harry Ford and
Colt Emerson.
And
see, and a starting pitcher.
Yeah, yeah. And like a Woo, yeah, or a Miller. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there is something I love about Pete Alonso. I think Pete Alonso brings a lot of character. I think he brings a lot of maturity, leadership, stuff like that. And for no reason other than I think he's a decent guy, I'll say fair. I think he probably averages 33 a year. The only person I would think that might have more home runs than him in that time would be Kyle Schwarber. That would be my only thought. Maybe Judge, but I'd probably say Schwarber.
Say it to me one more time, Schultzy.
All right, fair or foul, Pete Alonso has the most home runs in all of MLB in the last five seasons. Fair or foul?
Last five seasons.
COVID short year.
And technically, I'm going July 2, 2019 to today, 2024.
Fair enough.
I just can't.
Nobody hit 70 bombs in the first 3 months of 19.
It's true.
I just can't believe that.
I know, it's kind of wild to think about, right? But maybe that's why he's as popular as he is.
I'm just trying to think of over the last 5 years who has been healthy, consistent, had that pop.
That's why I like Schwarber. Judge, obviously, I mean, 61 is 30 more than Alonso's ever hit.
I don't know.
Well, maybe that's not true, but you know what I mean.
You know, I'm thinking of the guy who's at, who just popped out for the Dodgers, Freeman, but I don't know if he's been hitting that many home runs or as many as Pete Alonso. I'm going to say foul. The question is not guess who has more. So I am going to say foul, that there is somebody that has more home runs. But I think Schultzy is leading me astray here.
Yeah, you are right, Joe. I am leading you astray. But only by 17 home runs. Pete Alonso does not have the most. It is actually Aaron Judge with 199.
Is Pete number two?
He is. He is number two. See, at 182, yeah, home runs.
See, 62 in 1 year is like
the difference.
2 years of home runs.
But y'all remember Pete Alonso's rookie year, 53 home runs, yeah, which I think people have kind of forgotten about.
I have already forgotten about it, and you just told me that. Who is number three? Do you have that list still
I
in
do.
Front of you?
Yeah, Matt Olson at 173, tied with Kyle Schwarber for third.
That is a deal for the Atlanta Braves for Matt Olson. Jeez Louise. And then Schwarber tied with him.
And then Ohtani at five at 163. This is the other name that surprised me because you just don't hear about him because they're so bad. The Red Sox, Rafael Devers, their third baseman. 147 homers, tied with Jose Ramirez. So a little bit crazier to see him in the top 10, but Juan Soto, Yordan Alvarez, and Marcus Simeon rounding out that list.
Wow. Jose Decton. Hosey decked him.
Yes, he did. All right, on to question number two. Sticking with the Boston Red Sox, they've got a really good young player right now, guys. Jarren Duran has been hitting off his earth this season.
Yeah, he's had like a 12-game hit streak, something like that.
287 average, 351 on base percentage, almost an 850 OPS, 40 RBIs, 21 stolen bases. This stat, though, kind of caught me off guard. I get it, he plays in Fenway, but fair or foul, Boston Red Sox outfielder Jarren Duran has had as many triples as he does home runs this year. Fair or foul, he has had as many triples as home runs. So same number, fair or foul.
Part of me wants to ask how many home runs he has. You know, like
I'll give it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
10 home runs. 10 home runs.
All right, and how many triples does he have?
Well, shut the hell up.
Well, I know Bobby Witt.
Damn it.
I believe Bobby Witt was leading the league in triples for a while. But I don't know if he has been passed.
I'm going to say fair because that would be a pretty cool stat. Especially to have that many triples this point in the season. I kind of want that to be the case.
I will say foul because I think they suck and he sucks and it's Bobby Witt in the lead with triples.
Well, no. They don't suck and they very well could probably take a wild card spot this year. So.
Joe is 2-for-2 tonight, unfortunately, on the stat questions.
Unfortunately, Schultzy just played his cards that Joe Fisher sucks, apparently.
I was more thank so you, saying unfortunate you. For you, Patrick, but okay. But yes. Yes, yes.
No, I get it. Anti-Joe Fisher.
I have secret Joe Fisher hate over here, apparently.
Jordan Schultz secretly hates Joe Fisher. Not secret anymore.
So it is fair. He is sitting at 10 apiece triples and home runs. Bobby Witt Jr. has 9 triples.
Ah, see, nine triples. I
Indianapolis.
I knew I was onto something with Bobby Witt.
Sneaky third place, Anthony Volpe with third. So I didn't even really know that. So good for him. He's fast.
He's been having a great year at the dish.
Somehow the Yankees are good.
I had a $5,000 card signed by him, and I sold it.
Anthony Volpe?
Yeah. It was like a very, very early rookie card of his. It was signed. It was like an out of 25, like very, very rare parallel, and I sold it way too early.
Oh, boy. Hopefully it's in the garbage or like a dumpster somewhere and you can't don't feel bad. Like the next owner like just totally, you know, mismanaged the card.
Oh no, I saw it. It got graded out perfectly and he's got, you know, $10,000 sitting in a, you know, safety deposit box right now in that card. So
down goes Schultz.
It sucks. That's definitely one of my worst decisions as far as sports memorabilia goes. Fair or foul number three. All right, moving on to the trade deadline, guys. A couple of moves that I think need to be made in questions three and four, ones I'll address. Let's start off with the Toronto Blue Jays. We've been hearing all the rumors about Vladimir Guerrero being on the move. I, however, think it's a little bit of a misnomer, even though you're having a down season, to give up on the best player that's been on your roster for the past, like, what, five, 6 years?
Since Roy Halladay?
Yeah, pretty much. And not wanting to spend the money on a player like that, I think is asinine. So fair or foul, guys, the Toronto Blue Jays will trade first baseman Vladimir Guerrero Jr. by the deadline. Fair or foul?
I'll take this first. I'll start off and say foul. And the reason I say foul is I think the teams that would be best suited for Vladdy don't have the resources to get him. You know, I know the media wants to shove down our throats Vladdy in New York. But what is New York sending? New York is not sending anything to Toronto that is worth that. Now, you look at a team like the Dodgers, they have the capital to send for Vladdy, but they don't need him. They got Freeman at first. They got Shohei as a DH. Where am I going to put Vladdy? Take the flip side of that. The Mariners, I think the Mariners have capital to send to Toronto to get Vladdy, but is Vladdy going to come out to Seattle? I don't think so. So I don't think where it fits and what it costs meets in the middle, and I will say foul. I think he's in Toronto, and they lock him up.
They should maybe trade him, but I could see them.
I agree with you, Joe. I think they should deal him.
I lean towards they should, but I could live in a world where they say, we'll get rid of everybody else.
Yeah.
But we're keeping Vlad. Like, we're going to build around him. We're going to manage this roster a little bit better, but keep him because he is clearly an MVP caliber player.
His old man was Canadian. He's Canadian.
Am I crazy, though, that what if we saw a little first baseman for first baseman swap and the New York Mets go after him?
Pete Alonso? Well,
send Pete to Toronto. They won't end up giving him a long-term deal.
But you're
going to have to pay out the ass for Vladimir down the road anyways.
But Pete Alonso would just be a rental, and a rental for what? To finish fourth instead of fifth?
And then you have a complete rebuild restart.
And then he walks and you get nothing for Vladdy?
Well, I mean, you have some, you know, prospects that come along with that deal if you're Toronto.
Just the Mets scared out of their wits that they can't re-sign Pete Alonso. And if I was Pete Alonso, I wouldn't re-sign there either. City Field is a dumpster fire if you hit home runs.
I think it'd be interesting. The Mets, the grimace Mets, making a little surge here, and then you get Vladdy on the team to give you some more oomph in that lineup, and you have some on base.
I mean, I would watch.
You have a hitter as well.
I would watch the fire.
It's obviously you're going to have, you know, Pete Alonso can get you home runs, but as far as having a consistent on base presence like Vladimir Guerrero, I mean, I'm talking crazy, but also I think that if Toronto fully wanted to do a restart, you get Pete Alonso back, but you ask for a hell lot of prospects as well.
It's crazy, man.
All right, guys, got to round out fair or foul with a question about my, I would say, crappy Seattle Mariners right now. Losing to the Baltimore Orioles, probably not going to win this series.
Hey, what you going to do? Eh?
Strike out more, because that's what they've been doing. Hey, you talking to me? No.
Gray Rod will do that to you, man.
Grayrod threw well tonight.
I did ask you guys about Mitch Garver a few weeks ago. He is still one of the worst, actually not one of, the worst statistical batter qualifying in all of MLB at 172. And the Mariners have not one, not two, but four hitters in the bottom 20 of qualifying batting averages in all of major leagues. Another one of those guys, second baseman Jorge Polanco. He has missed some time with injury, but even when he's played, only hitting .197, hit a few homers, but dude is like barely above .280 for on base percentage. So I'm not liking the numbers. Fair or foul, guys. The Seattle Mariners should say uncle and move on from second baseman Jorge Polanco. Really quickly, let me compare him. He's batting .197, 5 home runs, 15 RBIs, to Colton Wong's 2 home runs, 19 RBIs, and .165 before he was jettisoned by the Mariners.
Wasn't Jorge Polanco a guy that DePoto had been eyeing for years?
4 years. This was a apparent DePoto guy. Yes.
You know what? What's he batting?
.197.
Well, the team is averaging .218.
That's fair.
So I would argue that Polanco is actually closer to the middle than other people. I will actually say foul, because it's like Mitch Garver sucks and Mitch Garver got hurt and thank God he's out now. But who's coming in?
Yeah.
Like who?
Sebi Zavala.
Who are you bringing in? I don't got any options for you. Like, this guy, at least this guy's closer to the team average than the other dude. I'd keep Polanco.
I would keep him as well, because you need, like, 7 batters. You need to make, like, 7 moves.
Yeah, getting rid of Polanco ain't the answer.
Call me crazy, but how about a little first base for first base swap? Ty France for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.?
Dude, Ty France and Emerson Hancock for Pete Alonso, let's effing go.
It's going to take more than Emerson. They're going to ask for Wu and Ty France. Would you do that?
Wu and Ty France? Yeah, because I think Wu might have Tommy John, so yeah, you can have him.
What about Emerson? Cold Emerson and Ty France, their number one prospect. Personally, I'd give up anybody. I'd give them all up.
But again, though, my problem with Pete Alonso in New York is that ballpark sucks, but so does T-Mobile.
As of 2 days ago, Mariners with a MLB worst batting average, .218.
.218.
And leading in strikeouts as well.
Yeah, it ain't good. It ain't good. All right, that is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. We come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot Corner, Today the Fan.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
All right, we'll be back next week, and I think it's time to start getting into some trade deadline talk.
Yes.
You know, we kind of talked about it a little bit last week of doing it this week, but I forgot we had the All-Star game. So I wanted to get into that. But Joe keeps peppering me as we talk about what we want to do for the show each week. Joe keeps peppering me with some trade deadline stuff. So I think it'd be fun to kind of really dive into it, get ahead of it. Basically, we're walking into the All-Star break next week, where everyone's got a few games left. We can look at, you know, what's Kyle Tucker's situation, Harper, Realmuto, check in on the White Sox, you know, what are the White Sox going to do? You know, can Mason Miller for the A's get moved? Things like that. And then also just what does Baltimore need to do to keep going? That bullpen looks pretty strong. Is Corbin Burns enough? Is Grayrod showing you enough as a starter, or do they need a starter? So I think it could be a lot of fun next week to dive into some trade deadline stuff, because now we're in a position, like, speaking of Schultz's Mariners, like, as I keep saying, objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. Like, what is the Astros strategy at the deadline? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that team becomes really fascinating.
Yeah, the rubber's meeting the road with a lot of teams right now. We're getting to crunch time in the MLB season, obviously post All-Star break. I texted you earlier today about a possible segment that we could have today, but might get pushed back to next week. Which division leader could / will lose their division lead?
Yep.
That's not the Seattle Mariners. I mean, there's...
I sent you 2 candidates.
I mean, there's... As we know, you get into the postseason, just give me a chance, right? That's what a lot of these teams feel like. I feel like the Padres are that way. The Cardinals are sneaking up in the division on the Brewers. I mean, you have, obviously, the Mets are surging.
I was high on the Cubs at the beginning of the season.
Oh, dude, we both took the Cubs to win the division. So now they're dead last in the division.
So where are they in terms of that?
Are they in sell mode?
Yeah, can Cincinnati make a run, or are they in a patient mode? Yeah, are the Cubs in sell mode? What if you're the Braves? Like, you've had a lot of bad hands dealt to you. Spencer Strider, Ronald Acuna, your two best players are gone. Do you make a run, or do you just kind of say, maybe not our year?
I mean, just real quickly on them, I think it's just one of those, it's not our year, just wait for the horses to get back.
That's what I would say.
You know,
I
mean, it's like, let's try and make some magic happen with our guys that we do have.
September 10th, shut down Max Fried.
just give it your best effort and we'll see what happens. But, there's a lot of great players out there that are going to be available.
But to counter that statement that I've been kind of saying over the last couple of weeks, are there great players out there available?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
And I mean that also, I would say that there's more, what the value is for them.
I would say there's because probably more pitching than there is hitting.
Because you can sit here and say Vladdy and Pete Alonso are available and you're like, whoa, those are huge bats available. But what does that cost?
Yeah.
And is that truly available? You know, so I think it could be a lot of fun.
I think there are definitely some names people aren't talking about as much, like Ryan McMahon for the Rockies, Taylor Ward.
Ryan McMahon is a great. Taylor Ward is also great.
Chisholm for the Marlins is not the best, but a decent middle infield addition right now.
Yeah, the Tampa Bay Rays are always open for business.
We were looking at, was it Brent Rooker over there in Oakland?
Yeah. Brent Rooker in Oakland.
Crochet over at the White
Crochet
Sox.
Crochet for sure.
I mean, it's...
What do the Diamondbacks do? You know, Carroll's not playing well. They're World Series last year, but they're far away from that.
And they were playing.
Do you get rid of the Jock Petersons and Yuri Gurriels of the world? Obviously, you're not trading Zach Gallen, but are you going to trade, you know, does Jordan Montgomery get dealt?
Dude, he's been terrible. Yeah, has not been talked about enough, especially with how much he was talked about going into the season.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's... It'll be interesting. There's enough teams that are in it, and this is what I love about, obviously, the expanded playoffs, is that more teams are going to have a chance, and more teams feel like we might be an arm away. We might be a starting pitcher away, that where we can have a three-man rotation going into the playoffs that are just as good as some of these division leaders, and then we can go and surprise them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, that'll do it for us. When we come back next week, that's what we're going to be doing. Let's dive into some trade deadline and talk about some stuff as we slide into the All-Star break. Get your fan votes in for the All-Star break. I just think it's a fun tradition, and you are a baseball fan, so you should have a say in who plays in the Classic. All right. That'll do it. I think that's all I got, right? Anything else?
I believe so. Check the notes. Check the papers.
Notes are gone. I got my sunglasses. I'm warm.
All right, let's boogie.
Let's do it. For Joe Fisher, Schultzy on the ones and twos, I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I would do. Today the fan.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch. And the season's over.
All right, we'll be back next week. And I think it's time to start getting into some trade deadline talk.
Yes.
You know, we kind of talked about it a little bit last week of doing it this week, but I forgot we had the All-Star game. So I wanted to get into that. But Joe keeps peppering me as we talk about what we want to do for the show each week. Joe keeps peppering me with some trade deadline stuff. So I think it'd be fun to kind of really dive into it, get ahead of it. Basically, we're walking into the All-Star break next week where everyone's got a few games left. We can look at, you know, what's Kyle Tucker's situation, Harper, Realmuto, check in on the White Sox. You know, what are the White Sox going to do? You know, can Mason Miller for the A's get moved? Things like that. And then also just what does Baltimore need to do to keep going? That bullpen looks pretty strong. Is Corbin Burns enough? Is Grayrod showing you enough as a starter, or do they need a starter? So I think it could be a lot of fun next week to dive into some trade deadline stuff, because now we're in a position, like, speaking of Schultz's Mariners, like, as I keep saying, objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. Like, what is the Astros strategy at the deadline?
You
know what I mean?
Yeah,
like that team becomes really fascinating.
Yeah, the rubber's meeting the road with a lot of teams right now. We're getting to crunch time in the MLB season, obviously post All-Star break. I texted you earlier today about a possible segment that we could have today, but might get pushed back to next week. Which division leader could slash will lose their division lead?
Yep.
That's not the Seattle Mariners. I mean, there's.
And I sent you two candidates.
I mean, there's, as we know, you get into the postseason, just give me a chance, right? That's what a lot of these teams feel like. I feel like the Padres are that way. The Cardinals are sneaking up in the division on the Brewers. I mean, you have obviously the Mets are surging.
I was high on the Cubs at the beginning of the season.
Oh, dude, we both took the Cubs to win the division. So now they're dead last in the division.
So where are they in terms of that?
Are they in sell mode?
Yeah, can Cincinnati make a run, or are they in a patient mode? Yeah, are the Cubs in sell mode? What if you're the Braves? Like, you've had a lot of bad hands dealt to you. Spencer Strider, Ronald Acuna, your two best players are gone. Do you make a run, or do you just kind of say, maybe not our year?
I mean, just real quickly on them, I think it's just one of those, it's not our year, just wait for the horses to get back.
That's what I would say.
You know,
I
mean, it's like, let's try and make some magic happen with our guys that we do have.
September 10th, shut down Max Fried.
Yeah, right. just give it your best effort and we'll see what happens. But, there's a lot of great players out there that are going to be available.
But to counter that statement that I've been kind of saying over the last couple of weeks, are there great players out there available?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
And I mean that also,
I would say that there's more,
what the value is for them.
I would say there's probably more pitching than there is hitting.
Because you can sit here and say Vladdy and Pete Alonso are available and you're like, whoa, those are huge bats available. But what does that cost?
Yeah.
And is that truly available? You know, so I think it could be a lot of fun.
I think there are definitely some names people aren't talking about as much, like Ryan McMahon for the Rockies, Taylor Ward.
Ryan McMahon is a great. Taylor Ward is also great.
Chisholm for the Marlins is not the best, but a decent middle infield addition right now.
Yeah, the Tampa Bay Rays are always open for business.
We were looking at, was it Brent Rooker over there in Oakland?
Yeah. Brent Rooker in Oakland.
Crochet over at the White
Crochet
Sox.
Crochet for sure.
I mean, it's.
What do the Diamondbacks do? You know, Carroll's not playing well. They're World Series last year, but they're far away from that.
And they were playing.
Do you get rid of the Jock Petersons and Yuri Gurriels of the world? Obviously, you're not trading Zach Gallen, but are you, you know, are you going to trade, you know, does Jordan Montgomery get dealt?
Dude, he's
been terrible.
Year. Yeah, that's been terrible. Has not been talked about enough, especially with how much he was talked about going into the season.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's. It'll be interesting. There's enough teams that are in it, and this is what I love about, obviously, the expanded playoffs, is that more teams are going to have a chance, and more teams feel like we might be an arm away. We might be a starting pitcher away, that where we can have a three-man rotation going into the playoffs that are just as good as some of these division leaders,
that's
and then we can go and surprise
takes.
Them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, that'll do it for us. When we come back next week, that's what we're going to be doing. Let's dive into some trade deadline and talk about some stuff as we slide into the All-Star break. Get your fan votes in for the All-Star break. I just think it's a fun tradition, and you are a baseball fan, so you should have a say in who plays in the Classic. All right, that'll do it. I think that's all I got, right? Anything else?
I believe so. Check the notes. Check the papers.
Notes are gone. I got my sunglasses. I'm warm.
All right, let's boogie.
Let's do it. For Joe Fisher, Schultzy on the ones and twos, I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I would do.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.